I had some show prep notes last week when I came in.
You did?
Right?
Just a couple. Some scripts.
Actually, it was quite legible. That way I could read it and understand what I had written.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
Scott, what a treat we have today.
I'm excited about it.
What a treat. First of all, welcome back.
You always welcome me back.
Thanks for being here.
Well, I'm always here for you, Casey.
I know. But like, you're just my constant guest.
Am I a guest?
Can
I get at least a co-host credit occasionally?
Oh, I'll talk to Mr. Producer, but I'm not inclined to do that just yet. I think we're a little too soon into this podcasting situation.
How about guest in residence? I'll take that.
Let me think about it.
Okay.
I'll talk to my listener and see what they say, and then we'll figure it out.
Guys, she always greets me as welcome back as if I'd went somewhere. I was here last week and the week before, and I'll be here next week
also. And then next week when I'll welcome you back again. Everybody, we have Owen McBride and John Winges, two critical employees of the county association.
Half of the
South Carolina Association of Counties.
Half of the super team, lobbying team over at the county association.
That's exactly right. Y'all, welcome.
Well, thank you for having us this
morning. Glad to have y'all.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
Owen, y'all each just take a minute to tell us what you do at the County Association, how long you've been there, and kind of what your background is.
Sure. My name's Owen McBride. I've been with the Association of Counties for 10 years. I handle mostly revenue, property tax issues with the association. I'm the Assistant Director of Government Affairs. So we work really well as a team and work with you guys to make sure that legislation that passes does not have a negative impact on local governments. We understand local governments. We understand how important they are. And it's a privilege to work with you guys up at the General Assembly. And I'll let John introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm John Winges. I've been with the Association of Counties for almost 4 years now. Like Owen, my area of coverage is usually land use, transportation, and natural resources. Kind of got into the governmental affairs world at a young age, cutting my teeth, doing it, actually working for Casey's dad at McNair Law Firm.
Well, so, John, you and I, we'll tell everybody, you and I have known each other.
We go way back.
We go way, way back because our dads go way,
correct,
way, way
correct.
Back.
We've been very fortunate, but we always enjoy working with everybody here at the Municipal Association. Got a great working relationship, and it's always nice to work together on issues where we can to protect local government.
And that's the other half of y'all's team is Kent Lassane. He's the director of
Kent's the director of government affairs.
Right. And then Leslie.
Leslie Simpson. And then we have a new hire, Avery Upchurch, who started with us, came to us from Department of Health and Environmental Control.
Yeah, I saw that on the X.
Whatever that means.
Parentheses, formerly Twitter.
So we are excited to have her on board. She's going to kind of be working with John on some land use issues. And it's a great team. And I tell you, it's as John said, it's a lot easier when our organizations can work together up at the General Assembly and look out for local governments.
And we'll talk more about that and the times that we maybe are disputing cousins. How about that?
Sure.
On the opposite ends of issues or not in total agreement on issues. But I guess that's why we're ask you guys to come over today is to talk about what you are anticipating coming up for county governments in the General Assembly come January, and then we're preparing to kick off our regional advocacy meetings in a couple of weeks, and Casey and I are going to talk about that
next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then we'll just talk through our stuff and your stuff and whatever. So, how about
Scott,
that?
Before we do that, I would like to continue the tradition.
Sure.
And welcome Owen and John to the tradition of a little local government trivia.
Oh, boy.
Last week's question was tough. It was difficult,
well,
even for
y'all,
me.
Every time I'll ask the question and Scott's like, oh, I don't know. And then at the end, he's like, oh, yeah, it's blah, 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 and blah. And let me add a little bit more to that. And I'm like, could we please
find extra color commentary?
He's like, well, did you know? I have tried to choose questions that he at least can't get the whole answer.
Right.
Like maybe partial.
I'll get parts of it. All right, go ahead with your question.
Okay, here is the trivia question. And y'all, how we do it is I'm going to ask the question, and then we'll go on and talk about it. And then at the very end, I'll come back and say, okay, have you had time to think about this? What, you know, just throw out some answers.
And that's the genius of the format. She asks the question, and then you forget about it until 20 minutes right. later.
You and then I'll just spring it on you, and he'll be like, and then Scott will be like, oh, of course, it's blah, 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 blah.
I feel like this is going to be like the reading comprehension portion of of an exam where they tell you to read the question first, and then we get commentary from Scott, right. and then we come back to it.
Exactly.
Did I influence you? All right, go ahead.
Okay, here is the question, everybody. What are some municipalities, some meaning what municipalities, fall into three counties? What are some municipalities that fall into three counties? What are the municipalities? Mr. Producer, I don't like the way this question
is. You know, that's a...
what municipalities... Let me rephrase it. Name three municipalities that fall into three counties.
Okay.
So just think about that.
I think I know one.
While we slam each other for the next hour, and then we'll get to the trivia question.
I know for sure two of them.
Of course. God, he always does this.
I know for sure two of them.
I can tell you two. I may not be able to do three.
Not the third one.
I can name those towns in two notes.
Well, this is good for you. This is not named that tune. Yes. Good for all
the Youngs,
of us.
You know, the Youngs don't know what that is. Good Mr. Producer probably doesn't know. Remember,
well, we're all around the same age here.
Name
so
that
you're,
tune. Do you remember name that tune,
Mr. Producer? You might be the older one in the group.
He's heard of it, he says.
Not
the elder statesman.
Not to bring out your age, but.
Every week, boys. Every week.
Not to bring out the fact that you're older, but it's fine.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
What are we going to talk about?
All right, Scott, let's talk about this. Let's talk about things that we work together on.
Yeah.
We're both local government. We both are the government closest to the people. We handle the things that our residents have to deal with every day. Let's talk about stuff that we can work together on or have worked together on, one of them being local government fund.
Sure.
And that's right up your alley, Owen. We dealt with in 2019, I believe, the law that would further solidify what we got every year.
Sure. And I think the importance to us is it's consistency.
Yes.
Knowing what they're going to get every year.
Yes.
You know, the formula that the previous formula in 2008 when everything hit rock bottom, the General Assembly, rightfully so that year, could not fund it, but they just never called up.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, predictability and getting some of the money back, mm-hmm. And increasing every year. I mean, it was a hard sell to some of our members to say, let's put aside the money that you've lost, that you're owed.
Yeah, agreed.
But at some point, we need to stop fighting that fight and look to the future and try to increase revenues every year as the general fund grows. So, as you stated, working with you guys, we were able to come up with a new formula that is fair. I wish I could say we got all that money back for clients,
yeah.
for counties and cities that was owed to us under the old statutory formula. But in all reality, it was going to be too much political capital to try to continue to search for that money. And the importance was getting a formula going forward that we could both, as in the Association of Counties and the Municipal Association, could go back to our clients and say, that money may not be coming back, but here's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, any time the general fund increases, your local government fund's going to increase up to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I repeat the word consistency, but them knowing how much they're going to get and
right.
knowing that they're going to get
when
an
they're
increase.
They're working on their budgets. And yeah.
freeing up lobbying efforts
yeah.
for other
yes.
important issues.
That was critical for us, Owen, because it was every single year. Okay, we've got to go beg and, you know, testify and work on this all year. And we wanted to do other, like y'all, proactive things.
Sure.
And that was cities. that was an issue that perfectly illustrates the relationship we have, I think, on a lot of issues. On the local government fund, you guys were the lead voices on it because local government funds are much more important to county budgets than they necessarily are for municipal budgets. So you guys played the lead role. We were there in support and helping to solidify that message as well. And there are other issues where perhaps we take the lead on an issue and you guys are right back there mm-hmm. behind us saying, absolutely. Yep, we're with you on that. So, but you're not having to necessarily spend all of your political correct. Capital for that.
Yeah.
At the same time, you flip to another issue and it's us spending our political capital.
That's
so
right.
That's for our listener. That's how I think we work together on a good number of issues since I've been doing it for 10 years now. So that was a perfect illustration of that relationship.
Yeah, we came in around the same time, and I'll tell you that in the last 10 years has probably been one of the most important pieces of legislation that doesn't often get talked about because it's
yeah.
money due to local government.
For sure.
But getting something in statute that's workable mm-hmm. and that every time it comes up, there's not 50 amendments on it or people trying to change it because they realize – I mean, in the past, we had members of the General Assembly say, we didn't agree to that formula. We're cutting across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all aren't getting – I mean, we would bring in county officials with
yeah.
radios for their fire departments that were in the from the
1980s
yeah. and yeah. say, yeah. this is the equipment they're yes. working with. We need this money. This goes mm-hmm. to this. This goes mm-hmm. to that.
We did the same
thing. And it's – they – their hands were tied.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did not have the votes to increase the local government.
And as we've told our folks, and they all understand, the General Assembly was, I think, just as happy to not have to go through this fight every year as we were. Many of them were.
They appreciate yeah. so much. And Owen, I think you testify in that, and Joni testifies with us when y'all both get up there and go, hey.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes.
Like, you're sticking to the formula. Thank you. Yeah. And you sit down, and then they're like, okay, great.
We don't have to fight about that.
We don't even have to fight about it. We have to think about it. It's automatic.
Absolutely.
And that's what we appreciate.
So that's a little bit about sort of an insight of how we work together. What do y'all anticipate coming up for you this session starting in January? Name something that you're going to have to think you're going to have to play defense on, and then something proactive or offensive-minded that you want to go forward.
Sure. I'll start with just the word that gets everybody's attention, and that's preemption.
Correct. Yeah.
Every year there are bills to preempt local governments from passing ordinances or regulations.
Oh, yeah. Owen, John, let me ask you this. Why?
Take power away from local government.
But that's the big government overreach.
Correct.
And I thought we didn't
it
like
is.
That.
Correct.
You know what I mean? I thought we liked
a little bit
smaller.
Of an oxymoron,
but
yeah.
as you,
right, right.
as you stated earlier, in my humble opinion, the government close to the people
yeah.
is the best government. And
absolutely.
The local governments understand what their citizens need. The state, there's very few things that a statewide approach is in the best interest of all citizens of the
mm-hmm.
state.
Mm-hmm.
What matters in, for instance, in Horry County may not be a big deal up in Pickens County.
Right.
So that's where we, as the Association of Counties, and we try to protect home rule and allow those local governments to figure out what's in the best interest for their citizens, and that's where preemption comes in. Every year there's three or four bills that we have to be on defense, some more important than others to our members. But it's a slippery slope because once you give up on one issue,
mm-hmm.
they're going to ram three more down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. why at the Association of County, anytime we hear the word preemption, it sets off bells and alarms.
And here's where I'll diverge from that just a little bit. And take, for example, this past session, the tobacco flavors preemption mm-hmm. bill. That was a preemption bill that was introduced to prevent the local regulation or local banning of flavors, ingredients in tobacco and vape products and that kind of thing. Yes, that was a preemption bill, but in our view, because none of our members, cities or towns, had even suggested or contemplated doing some sort of regulation like that, it wasn't an issue for our folks. So being preempted on that, it didn't really matter because it didn't
sure.
affect anybody, and it didn't affect anybody's future plans. Now, as a preemption matter, as a principle, yes, that was an
correct.
Issue, but. You know, I think the position we took is why get into a fight over something that's not important to our members. So
we approached it the same way.
Yeah.
But along with that, we did testify in subcommittee and
yeah.
and just put on the record that in
right.
general,
Yes.
We are opposed to preemption bills.
Yes. Sure.
Now, while we don't have any counties out there trying to ban certain flavors
right.
of nicotine products,
yep.
We had to be on the record yep. saying we do not like the preemption part of this.
Yes.
Now the subject matter, yes, some are more important than others. And we yep. if we have counties trying to do it, obviously our approach yep. would have been different.
Right.
But that they labeled it as a pro-business bill, and I certainly understood that aspect yep. of it.
Yep.
But as you said, there's some fights that aren't worth losing political capital.
You've got to pick and choose your battles.
You've got to pick and choose your battles.
Depending on.
And that was one of the least offensive pro
right.
Preemption bills
that they've introduced in the past few years.
That's
now,
there's another
issue that we're obviously certainly anti-preemption on short-term rentals, and Casey and I are going to talk about that more next week as a preview to our regional advocacy meetings mm-hmm. kicking off. But talk to us just real quickly, John, where are y'all on the short-term rental preemption? You know, there's a bill that would seek to preempt local authority to regulate short-term rentals. We obviously oppose that. There's been talk, and we've all seen the drafts of the non-existent amendment that isn't much better. But tell us where the county association is on
yes,
that.
Yes, Scott, and I may let Owen chime in too on this bill because yep. he's sort of taking the lead since this is in the more the revenue department.
Sure,
but we may take a little bit of different stance in the municipal association on this bill. One of the things we've worked with the sponsor of the bill to hopefully get introduced next year as an amendment is looking at the revenue collection on the tax side of the bill. That's very important to get those monies back to local governments.
Sure.
I know Owen has worked on this bill extensively, if he wants to chime in.
Yeah.
The biggest focus for us is on the local accommodations tax
yep.
revenue. I mean, these hotels pay these local accommodations taxes. That money goes back to counties, that goes back to local governments, cities and towns as well. That is our number one focus. We do not like the preemption language, but we also understand that the General Assembly, the votes are likely there to have some sort of regulation.
Yeah.
So our goal is certainly to include the local tax revenue collection and remittance and to make the preemption language as tolerable as it can be.
Yeah, because less bad.
Less bad.
Yeah.
It's less bad. And we realize there's a huge number of members of the General Assembly that want to see some sort of a short-term rental bill passed. So our approach is – and it's similar in the sense of we're trying to limit the preemption language.
Correct.
And protect local zoning.
Right.
But the revenue that could be returned to counties –
right.
Is a huge percentage or the first part of the amendment that you spoke of,
yeah.
the language that I saw,
yeah.
that to us is a no-brainer.
So I don't disagree. I think that certainly there's an opportunity for us to do something positive on the collection and remittance side of the equation. And obviously our members have made it very clear to us over the last several months before the session ended, and even
very clear
at our annual meeting in July, there is no room for us to work or to give on the preemption of the regulatory regulations, the authority of municipalities to regulate short-term rentals as their residents and councils see fit. So,
well, then let's just get a perfect bill where we collect the local accommodation tax and
so, thank you, Owen.
So let me
thanks, Owen.
and I'll just add this real quick. I agree. Definitely, there's some opportunities to deal with the tax piece, but unfortunately, all of the players on the hospitality side. Okay. Are not complying with current laws when it comes to collecting and remitting correct. Accommodations taxes, be they state taxes or local accommodations taxes. So we got a challenge there that we're going to have to overcome for us anyway. But we'll get into that with our members in the fall, and then talk more about it certainly as the session approaches. John, what are you going to be working on in January?
So coming up in January, we've got a couple of land use issues we're dealing with. One of them is House Bill 4224, which is a lot cleanup bill.
Yes.
Yep.
Y'all been working on that a while.
We have been. This has been a recurring theme. usually get it close to the finish line, but it's always late in session and we don't quite get it across the finish line. So we're hoping to achieve that this year.
Make sure I understand the issue. Y'all have, counties have code enforcement authority. What you don't have the authority to do, though, is put the costs of those cleanups on the
as a lien on the property tax bill. Which
right?
municipal
and we have that authority
has yes. that authority
now so. Whether or not it gets collected ever is a different yeah. matter, but
that's why y'all should be in support of this bill.
Oh, we do. And we do, yeah, we absolutely support it. So so that's the distinction, right?
That is the distinction.
Okay.
And so
so we're just adding two words to and counties
and well, that approach doesn't always work.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to separate the two. But in all reality, the issue is you've got the taxpayers paying for
yeah.
one property mm-hmm. owner
correct.
Who
yes.
let his property go into disrepair.
You're essentially yeah. double taxing your taxpayers to clean
right.
up somebody else's
to,
property.
Right. I used to tell my councils, this is, you know, you hear about wasting taxpayer funds, taxpayer waste, or you know, my view was this is the number one waste of taxpayer dollars
100%.
Or unnecessary expense for taxpayers cleaning up somebody else's mess. So.
Correct.
So. And you've got your citizens coming to you.
Oh, absolutely.
This property
yes.
is,
yeah.
is
oh, yeah. they want
ruining
you to do
my property
about it.
Value. Do it, something
I mean,
about
we
it.
We hear about yeah. this on a monthly basis. Yeah. So, uh-huh. I mean, it is important.
100%. So you'll be working on that?
Working on
again?
That. Again. And then we have another bill that may have some interest to local governments is S7. 63 is a bill dealing with waste tires.
Yeah.
Right now, in the past 2 years, our county governments across the state have seen a significant budgetary impact on the disposal of waste tires due to the processing fees going up tremendously. There are not enough markets to recycle the tires. We're having to ship most of them out of state. Hmm. So we're looking at innovative ways to try to introduce these tires into the marketplace, whether it be crushed rubberized asphalt,
yeah.
find other uses for rubberized playground material. But looking at removing the tipping fee cap that's been placed on counties at $150 per ton, which has been in place since the early 1990s, there's another aspect to it which could have increased a fee, but as you know, there's no appetite to do any kind of fee increases, especially in election year coming up.
Yeah,
so we're looking at this as the least impactful way on the consumer to deal with some of the waste tire issues.
Where are our resident tire manufacturers at in helping to solve
so
this
they,
problem?
We have, they have been part of a stakeholder working group that we met throughout the year last year. We're going to start meeting again here in the fall. They seem to be in support in
sure.
general of the idea. Trying to nail down the methodology to deal with this issue is kind of one of the things we've been working on
yeah.
for the past few months.
The details.
So, yep, ironing out the details. So we're hoping to try to get everybody kind of on the same sheet of music as we approach
sure.
session to, you know, as you well know, having everybody kind of on the same sheet of music going into session is much easier than when you're trying to figure things out on the fly.
In the middle
and
of
you
it.
Have... you know, a short time period to get a bill passed.
What do y'all think in the 2024 session? Like you mentioned, John, it's going to be an election year for House and Senate. It's a presidential election year, and we saw that melee start last night
yep.
with the Republican debate. What do y'all think are going to be the big social issues this year with the, you know, the yesterday the Supreme Court upheld the 6-week abortion
State
ban.
Supreme Court. Yeah.
Right. The State yep. Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. I'll withhold all of my opinions so as not to start a, you know, huge debate.
A culture war
on the podcast.
Yeah.
You could probably guess how I feel. But what do y'all think are going to be the big social issues? You know, we've you know, debated abortion. We've debated CRT. We've debated guns. We've all these things.
Sure.
What are we looking at here?
I think one of the big bills is the hate crimes bill.
Yep.
You know,
that's
over in the Senate now.
Yeah.
I think that will take a priority position and at least take up a lot of time during the General Assembly session this year. And I think judicial reform. I think
yeah.
that's probably going to be a
that's,
hot topic. I've seen just
yep.
making the rounds on social media over the summertime. I know there's been at least one piece of legislation that's been introduced mm-hmm. on
to
that topic.
To reform Judicial Merit Selection Commission
correct.
And how judges are elected. Yeah. Owen, what do you?
I agree. I think if you heard anything from the Attorney General's press conference earlier
mm-hmm.
This year, then judicial reform is going to be a hot topic up there. And in an election year, normally that would be a lengthy debate, but I think in an election year, it's going to be even lengthier.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Other than that, I still think you'll have some debate on guns every year.
Right.
That's South Carolina.
Right.
So we have constitutional carry bills.
Yeah, that's still sitting in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And
despite the state Supreme Court's upholding of the 6-week abortion ban, there are still members of the General Assembly who want a total ban.
Correct.
And Senator Massey, Shane Massey from Edgefield, who's the Senate Majority Leader, he's been quoted in the papers since then that, hey, let's let this ruling settle and let the law take effect, and let's see where it is before we revisit potentially abortion. Mm-hmm. But we know that'll be an issue again.
And you still got the issue dealing with the Comptroller General.
Yeah.
Right, that's right.
That's still lingering over everybody. So while that isn't necessarily something that affects local governments, it is something that's going to take up some time.
Takes some time. Mm-hmm. Do you think, and we tell our listener and tell people when Casey and I are...
And we joke around, y'all, that we only have one person.
We only have one listener.
We don't have a lot of people. We have one listener.
Well, you got three now.
That listens to the show.
Well,
listen to the show.
Seth Duncan...
This is a niche this is a
niche audience.
I don't think everybody loves to talk about local government.
So Seth Duncan, he's the administrator in Malden. He likes the fact that we give it a personal touch and direct it just to him as the listener.
That.
So Seth, glad you're listening. Do you expect, we tell our folks all the time that, hey, in an election year, we got to get past the primary filing deadline in March before we expect anything to really important to kind of be able to move forward. Do y'all see it the same way?
Absolutely. Got to get that billboard material. Hold on to it
take
until
it zero
after
to
the,
100.
Yeah.
Right. Although I tell you, that used to be the case every year, but now I mean, there's just so much contention in the General Assembly it feels like no matter whether it's an election year or not, it's shots are being fired left and right.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much it'll change.
Think that once? I mean, a lot of these races are won and lost in the primary.
Absolutely.
So once once filing's over the end of March, you've got April, May, a week in June. I mean, you've got 2 months while they're in session, knowing that some of their colleagues are getting people to run against them. And
In a primary. Which is the only election that counts.
And you have this, that just increases the tension.
And then you've got the folks that don't win the primary, and there's bitterness, and
very much so.
Yeah, when they get ousted,
So it's definitely going to be an interesting year. But I also look at it as an opportunity for our associations to get meaningful legislation passed.
Absolutely.
Because if it's not controversial, if we can get it in front of the budget and get it in front of those hot ticket items, I think you're going to see some members just vote just so they can say we passed.
We did
something.
Right.
We did
to put it on their mailer to say this is what I did. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to go after
some enclave annexation.
Enclave annexation.
Speaking where we divert.
That's a great idea.
I think you forgot the word attempt.
I thought Owen's about to fall out of his chair across the way.
Listen, the annexation. That's not the trigger word. The trigger. We all agree that some areas need to be annexed. It's about how we go about doing it.
Right.
But I think there's some differences.
Yes, how we get there.
But
yeah.
That's another example of where it's always friendly. It's always
conversation.
Correct.
I see too many times bitterness prevail between lobbyists at the General Assembly.
Right.
And we meet in good faith, and we realize we're going to have differences in opinion, but in the end, we're both looking out for our clients, and that's what we're hired to do.
And if we have to oppose, we have to oppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if we have to,
at least
we
we're
just
up front
have to say
with each other about it,
right.
And we'll work together on the next issue.
That's exactly right.
Owen, everybody knows that I'm the cynical pessimist here in the office, and 100%. While I appreciate your optimism with getting stuff done before the filing deadline, you know, I hope we can do that, but Casey has to keep me pumped up, right?
I will say, at least from our perspective, we had some bills move, some minor bills, like delinquent tax sales is something we've been working on, being able to have those
incremental
online.
Stuff.
That nobody, I mean, it worked during COVID.
Yeah.
Correct.
There's no reason in the 21st century, in 2024, that we should not have the ability to conduct those sales, at least a portion of them,
correct.
Online.
Right. Correct.
And so that's one of those that it's more – getting the awareness out. Another one that we're working on that I've been working on for years is annual registration. Yep. And I know that may not affect you guys, but when you register your car in South Carolina, you register it every 2 years, biennial registration. And the problem we run into in some of the counties is constituents go to their auditor's office and or the treasurer's office and they say, why is my tax bill that's $80 on my car $120 every other year?
Yep.
And we have to, they have to explain to them it's because you've got that $40 registration. Mm-hmm. They would rather it have it be $100 every year.
Right.
We are consistency. One of, yeah. We are one of six states that even offer biennial registration.
Interesting. Yes.
So for us, there's a taxpayer benefit to it.
Mm-hmm. You're keeping now, taxpayers from going to different offices.
Yeah. There's
interesting.
There is with that. County offices would become what's known as sitters to comply and be able to issue decals. So they would, so taxpayers wouldn't have to go to the auditor's offices, pay their property tax bill, then go to the DMV.
Right. It would we cut can do down that in Richland County.
Yeah. Yeah. Barber County
Richland
does.
Yeah, you can do it in Richland County.
So there's 11 counties that are not.
That don't do that.
That don't do that. So this would require all counties to become sitters to comply and issue decals. But more importantly, it gives DOT, because a lot of those fees flow through DMV. To DOT.
Okay.
So it gives DOT a solid stream of revenue every year. We're running into an issue with some bonding issues that we're trying to get past, but I label it as a tax-friendly bill, and quite frankly, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I would think Schwedo would like that because it keeps people out of his offices, right?
DMV is on board. DOT is on board.
Good.
We have a bill, Senate Bill 635 was introduced by Senator Bennett this year. So that is a high priority for us, and hopefully we can get some traction on that and get it moving. I know it's 1 year left in this session, but it should not be a controversial bill if we can get past the funding part.
Boys, I know y'all have got to go. Really appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
We should make this like a – we should do it during session. Like we need to come
in. I think
we
need an update during session. Yeah.
Like an update maybe at the very beginning, maybe in January. Y'all come back and we kind of
– We'll call it the party pod.
Hey Scott, maybe we could move it to the beer garden.
Beer keller's open.
What if we did it from your table?
Come to the – yes.
And we would be drinking beer and being like, I really like this.
And if you go to beer keller, do not sit at the table with Scott Slatton's name on it.
That's correct. I'll run you off.
The golden plate.
Duly noted.
Unless you're friends.
Listen, before they go to their very important 10:30 meeting, let's talk about this question.
All right.
Name three municipalities that fall into three counties. I'll pronounce it like Dondi Mercer Plank does on WIS. Counties. Scott, would you like to take a stab at it first?
I'm happy to do so. How many you want me to name?
Well, there are three, so you may list however many you like.
I'll tell you, I'll name the first one that probably escapes a lot of people's minds, and I'll leave the most obvious to you two guys. Ware Shoals, South Carolina, is in three counties. Right. Learns County.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good job. That's one of them.
Yes.
Can either one of you both? Both of them are down near the coast.
It's a large.
Okay, so
The big one is one of the bigger cities in the state. It's in three of the counties, the fastest growing counties.
North Charleston. It's in Berkeley, Charleston, and Dorchester.
Yep.
And who's next door to North Charleston that is in a similar growth?
The sweet tea capital of the world. Somerville.
That's right.
Also in Berkeley, Charleston, and Dorchester County.
Correct.
And I got a feeling that's partly because of I-95.
I-26. Probably so.
I-26 splits.
Exactly.
I know it splits North Charleston.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because City Hall's on one side.
Charleston's gone east. Somerville has gone east across 26 over there to Nexton and back that way up towards Goose Creek as well.
Has it always been that way?
Goose Creek. No, it's
annexation, Owen.
Yeah. It was mostly.
I'm pretty sure the county agreed.
It was mostly confined to the west side of the of 26.
Yeah, that whole area is just growing so rapidly with Volvo.
It's hard to keep up.
It's pretty cool.
Eventually, they'll all. Eventually,
they're going to meet in St. Matthews, the metropolis of Calhoun County.
Now that's going to be like a bedroom community of Somerville. Everybody's going to say,
"It's the best kept secret in the state right now."
I'm going to move to St. Matthews. I'm going to move to.
As long as they pay their accommodation tax.
Well, they do. They do.
We'll go after them on that. Y'all, thanks for coming. We really appreciate it.
It's always a joy to be with y'all. Thank y'all for having us.
We will schedule another one at the beer garden so we can have an update from or like a pre-session, and maybe we'll bring in Joni and Erica, and we could bring Leslie. I mean, we can just
Leslie
have
and Kent. Vice Bia is on tap right now, so go buy
and get
one.
We may need a beer or two when session gets going.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, y'all. Everybody, we'll talk to you next week. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.